Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by and for your audience. Welcome to the second quarter 2021 earnings call, conference call for Companhia Energética de São Paulo, SASP. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded. After the company's remarks, there will be a questions and answers question session for analysts and investors. If you need assistance during the conference call, please press star zero to reach an operator. The link to access the webcast with the respective audio track and slides is available on SASP's Investor Relations website at www.ri.sasp.com.br. The slide deck is also available for download on the website. All the information presented below is in BRLs, Brazilian reais, in accordance with the Brazilian corporate law and also accounting practices adopted in Brazil, and also in accordance with International Accounting Standards, IFRS, except when otherwise indicated. Before moving on, we'd like to mention that forward-looking statements made during this conference call regarding SASP's business perspectives, operating and financial projections and goals are based on beliefs and assumptions on the part of the company's management, as well as on information currently available. Forward-looking statements are no guarantee of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions, as they refer to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not materialize. Investors should have in mind that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors may affect the company's future performance and thus lead to results that will differ considerably from those expressed in these forward-looking statements. The presentation will be conducted by Mario Bertoncini, CEO and IRO, and Mr. Marcelo de Jesus, the company's CFO. I would like now to hand the floor over to Mr. Mario Bertoncini, who will start the presentation.
Thank you all for participating in our earnings call, where we'll discuss results relative to the second quarter of 2021. And this first bit of the presentation will be addressing the highlights for the second quarter of 2021. After that, we'll review the contingent liabilities around trace amounts. Then we'll address the energy market and about our commercial strategy in this quarter, in particular, where we have the hydro crisis. After that, Marcelo de Jesus, our CFO, will be talking about our financial performance. I'll be back at the end to comment on our ESG agenda and also make my final comments for this first part of the call. After that, we'll have a Q&A session. Going now to page number four, where we have the highlights for the second quarter of 2021, we closed the quarter with a generation of 768 megawatt average in the quarter. And that level of generation has been impacted by the water crisis. It is 20% below the generation posted in the second quarter of 2020 last year. But as several of you know, that does not mean a major impact on the revenue or on the cash generation of SASP. Obviously, we have received, used our physical guarantee, and there is no major impact, as I said, coming from that lower dispatch by the ONS in this quarter. On top of that, and also linked to the water crisis in the second quarter, we conducted tests to reduce the flow rate at Porto Primavera Hydro Plant in compliance with legal requests from the Ministry of Mines and Energy, and then also following a request from the Chamber of Exceptional Rules, which is that chamber which works across different ministries. We have been conducting those tests, and they are following along as expected and as defined by an action plan proposed by IBEMA. The plan has been totally met and all potential environmental impacts have been mitigated by a team on the field. In addition to that, in this quarter, we have maintained our availability level at a very high level for both plants at an average of 95.9%. That availability index remains above reference levels set forth by ANEEL and has been so for some time on a consistent basis. In terms of the financial performance in the quarter, we closed with an adjusted EBITDA at 222 million BRLs with a cash generation of 274 million. So a generation 123% above the EBITDA. And that is driven mainly by non-cash effects on EBITDA, which will be detailed by Marcelo in a moment. In addition, in the quarter, we have moved forward in reducing our contingent liabilities with a gross reduction before monetary adjustments. I'll be talking about it in a moment as well. We had a drop of 636 million BRLs in this quarter when compared to the balance on March the 31st. As for our commercial strategy, we had worsening in the GSF throughout the quarter. That burden that affects the hydroelectric sector whenever we have thermal dispatches to offset a lower hydro generation. And that basically made us go to market and to zero an additional energy balance because of this increment in GSF. We did it, and you'll see that in details moving forward, but it's totally been addressed for 2021 at an average price right now of 239 BRLs per megawatt hour. Moreover, we also progressed in the contracted sales for the mid to the long run, especially because of the water crisis, but because of long-term potential risks coming from the hydro crisis, but also because we have a perspective of economic growth. So the mid to the long run, energy prices have gone up significantly, but we were able to conduct an additional contracting of energy. As for the contingent liabilities on the left-hand side of slide number 6, we had, as I said, an evolution of 636 million gross, and that has to do basically with favorable decisions in the quarter, favorable to SASPI, and also the entering of judicial agreements to reach that level. And it also has to do with smaller adjustments made in the period. In the second quarter, once again, we have also evolved in IGPM very strongly. IGPM increased by 6% in the quarter, approximately 2/3 of our contingent liabilities is corrected by IGPM on top of interest rates, of course, and therefore that explains that significant adjustment, 752 million BRLs. We have closed the quarter in a pro forma character for June in compliance with legal decisions in July. We closed the quarter, and you can see that on the slide on the right-hand side column, on the left side, 10.3 billion, the total contingent liabilities for SASP with a provision amount and the probable amount of 1.6 billion. On the right-hand side of the page, we have the evolution of our contingent assets for Três Irmãos. What is new on that front? Well, you have been following up on that. After the news that the expert had died earlier in the year, also in April, our request for injunction was not acknowledged, was not upheld. On April the 27th, we filed an injunction for immediate payment, but that request was not upheld. From then on, there were news in the lower court in Brasilia. The judge presiding over the case requested a manifestation from both parties, from the union and from SASP, about a potential closing of the period. The dividendiary period means the end of the expert works around the amount to be reimbursed. Both the union as ourselves, complying with the deadlines, we provided our statements. SASP stated that the mistakes had been addressed by the original expert, the one who died, and so we would favor an immediate ruling in the lower court. The union, as expected, maintained their line of conduct that they had maintained before, and they requested that we rectify the expert report. They wanted a new report, a new expert report to estimate the amounts due. So now, in terms of the legal process, the next step is to wait for the judge to make a decision, whether or not he agrees with the evidentiary period, and then we would move on to the trial phase in the lower court, or whether the judge will appoint a new expert to continue where the other one left off, or conduct a new assessment, a new expert assessment. We will keep the market informed as usual as soon as we have news on that front as well. Moving on page number 8, we will talk about the energy market for the quarter that it has now just ended. What we can see on both bar charts on page number 8 is the size, the magnitude of the water crisis we are going through right now, and especially in the south and southeast regions of the country. On the left-hand side, we see an evolution. We have isolated 3 years, 2021 in dark blue, and then 2001, where we have the energy rationing in Brazil, and also the year of 2014, which was a very critical year from the point of the water management and the energy matrix management in Brazil. On the chart on the left, we can see that we do have inflows and natural inflows as a percentage of the average in the long run. We can see that, and especially starting in April this year, the water crisis worsened, and we have natural levels at the tune of 62%, 62% of the long-term average, considerably below what we had in other periods when we compare 2001 and 2014 with this year. The same severity also goes for the stored energy on the right-hand side. Those are reservoir levels converted into potential megawatts. And you can observe here that for the months of June and July, we have a reservoir levels in the Midwest and southern regions of Brazil at 27%. The same levels we had in 2001, but below the levels we had in 2014. So that's something we are following closely. And that is the main driver for the testing and for dropping the flow rate at Porto Primavera, given the fact that the basins here, Paranaíba, Rio Grande, and Paraná, those are the basins that have been the most impacted by the hydro crisis. Moving on page number 9, still speaking about the energy market, we have the evolution of loads, the consumption of energy throughout the period. When we compare 2021 with previous years, the load in 2021, the forecast, the projected plus the remaining of the year, projected by the ONS, the federal regulator, we expect a load 3.1% above that of 2019, when you compare both years, 2021 and 2019. And when we compare this year, 2021, with last year, something around 4.6% above. That load has been revisited in the last 3 days by the ONS, and it already reflects a projection based on a response by retail, industry, and a slow recovery of confidence levels by the Brazilian consumer. As for the energy matrix, and there are positive aspects in that, today in 2021, our matrix is a lot more diversified than it used to be 10 or 20 years ago. Currently, we have the hydro sector prevailing at 62% of the matrix, but we can already see a significant participation from solar and wind energy at 12% and thermal at 26%, which is evolving for the better as we see an expectation of renewable energy, which will be increasingly relevant for the country in the coming years, and that will help mitigate potential risks as this crisis tends to worsen. That remains to be seen, of course. On the next page, page number 10, we have our energy balance. Once again, this is a standard structure we have been presenting quarter after quarter. On the chart number 3, on the right-hand side on the top, we have our energy matrix totally addressed for 2021. We have purchased all the energy that is necessary to zero our short position at CESP, already considering a GSF which will be worsened, which was just published by the CCE at 72.9% for this year. Based on that, we have zeroed our energy balance. So from the net standpoint, can be seen on the chart number 4 at a cost of 239 BRL per megawatt hour, as I had mentioned before. It's important also to mention that for the past few days, we have purchased additional energy because we do have a balance which has been addressed, but we have used also more conservative GSF amounts or values. As for 2022, we are in practice, we have already addressed that, we have already purchased 97% of all short exposure in energy for 2022, with conservative assumptions as well in terms of GSF for next year as well. So that position has been addressed as well for next year. Moving on, page 11, we have some features of our commercial strategy. We moved on with our strategy to expand and diversify our client base, and particularly by selling energy in the long run. Right now, for the three-year period, which is from 2024 to 2026, which is an important period for us, we have seized good opportunities with good clients. We have diversified in terms of industries, have expanded our client base on that respect. What we have today in this chart on the right-hand side of slide 11 is how we have evolved from the contract standpoint in average megawatts. For today's prices for 2024 through 2026, energy at an average price at 165 BRL per megawatt hour, prices which are still on the uptrend. I'd like now to turn the conference over to Marcelo de Jesus, our CFO, who will be talking about the group's financial performance in the quarter. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. We'll now continue with the presentation, our earnings call, talking about our financial performance on slide number 13 now. The adjusted EBITDA for second quarter reached 222 million BRLs, a drop of 23% when compared to the same period of last year. That driven by the water crisis, as Mario has just mentioned, and also by recurring events which were positive in the second quarter of the past year, which did not repeat in this quarter. And that led to a negative margin, to a drop of 24 million when compared to the previous year. Another important impact came from the mark-to-market effects, a variation which was negative at 31 million, also driven by a hike in prices that we saw. And lastly, we have a variation negative of 10 million in costs and expenses. And it's important to mention that there is not an increase in cost, but positive effects that we had in the second quarter in the previous year, which did not repeat this year. For example, a provision to reverse the RGR in the amount of 6 million BRLs, in addition to maintenance events for our power plants, which were delayed from last year for this year because of the COVID pandemic. Moving on slide number 14, we are going to be talking about our cash flow. And this quarter, the operating cash flow after the service sat at 274 million BRLs, equivalent of 123% of the EBITDA of the period. That is a strong cash generation level. That amount above 100% was driven by the benefit of our working capital, but most of that benefit came from the negative mark to market, which impacted EBITDA, but it's not a cash outflow. And also coming from the receivable from outstanding debt from CCE around this GSF. That strong cash generation also had a drop in EBITDA because of the water crisis, but that cash generation allows us to have a very comfortable leverage below 2x in the second quarter. We stand at 1.6 times net debt EBITDA and with an average duration of 7.3, which provides us some reassurance to continue with our operations and to go through this water crisis. On top, of course, our efficient energy balance management, as Mario has already mentioned as well. And lastly, I'd like to reaffirm that because of that robust capital structure and the strengths of our operations, we also had S&P and Fitch reaffirming our rating for SASP for 2021. I'd like to turn the word back over to Mario to talk about our ESG agenda and also to provide his final comments. Thank you, Mario. Over to you now. Well, thank you, Marcelo. And now moving on to page number 16, I'd like to make a few comments about our ESG agenda, social, environmental, and governance. In this second quarter, we noticed significant advances in our ESG agenda. Just to mention a couple, just as we did for several of you who have been following us very closely, you will remember this. In the first year after the privatization in June 2019, in other words, we basically had our first ESG rating risk, which with one of the main environmental rating agencies, the MSCI. Back then in 2019, we were awarded double B rating for the social environmental governance requests for SASP. We have advanced on that front with our agenda. And in April 2020, April last year, we were upgraded to triple B rating. And now in July this month, we were upgraded for the second time since we started being rated. And we now received a single A rating from MSCI. And that's another acknowledgement from the market for our ESG agenda at SASP. That is a very important pillar for us, and we have been working hard on that pillar. In addition, in the second quarter, we also became signatories of the Global Compact. We have taken on the commitment with those 10 sustainability principles set forth by the Global Compact around human rights, labor rights, environment, and also in compliance. In addition, in the second quarter, we are now more engaged with publishing climate metrics and hydro metrics from CDP. Yet another step in our ESG agenda. We are now signatories in terms of publishing and providing transparency of results through CDP as well, the Disclosure and Site Action. We also started a program now focused on diversity and inclusion, a very bold program We have completed an internal diagnostics, and that diagnostics provided a roadmap to put together an action plan around diversity and inclusion. So from now on, we'll now pursue those targets with renewed enthusiasm. As for final comments, page 18 now, I'd like to emphasize a couple of aspects. The second quarter of 2021 was quite challenging for the electrical sector in particular. I think we did manage within our possibilities, we managed to present a very consistent performance. We were able to mitigate our energy balance for the year. And as we zeroed those numbers or close to that 97% for next year's energy balance. As I just mentioned, when we contracted energy for this year to zero our energy balance at that average price of 239 reais on average, just for comparison, if we had zeroed all our short exposure at spot prices for PLD or spot prices for January until now and market prices from here on end to the end of the year, we would have zeroed our energy balance at a price which would be considerably higher, probably around 380 BRLs per megawatt hour. So that goes to show important efficiencies of about hundreds of millions in EBITDA as we manage the energy balance very proactively, very disciplined. In addition to that, we continue to disassemble our contingent liabilities to write that risk off. And that, of course, that leads us to believe that we'll have the upcoming quarters, especially this year, which would be very promising in terms of reducing those risks. It's worth mentioning a bit of information which is already being made public that we have started an attempt to reach a settlement for an important portion concerning the main suit, the Panorama lawsuit. It's still early to provide amounts to be reduced related to that lawsuit, but we are quite optimistic as we started those negotiations at the judiciary level. There might be a window of opportunity to enter into agreements or settlements. That is also to be confirmed, and we'll provide a heads up as soon as we can. And in closing this first part of the earnings call, I'd like to mention that this week, the institutional investor published their top of mind survey for relationship with the investors. And this was the source of incredible pride for all of us. I'd like to give a big thank you to market, to analysts for your trust, for your confidence. SASP was chosen as the number one company, the best IR team in the electrical sector in Latin America, number one. And we were also ranked number two as the second best ESG program in the electrical sector, also across Latin America. So once again, a big thank you on behalf of SASP for that acknowledgement. Your acknowledgement for us is a source of great pride. And of course, it increases our responsibility and our will to continue to be consistent, pragmatic, and providing ample visibility of everything we're doing here. Thank you very much for that acknowledgement and for your trust. I'd like now to close our presentation and now move on to our Q&A session.
Thank you. We'll now start the Q&A session. To ask a question, please press star one. Our first question comes from Mrs. Carolina Carneiro from Credit Suisse. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking my questions. I have two questions. The first one about your comments on the hydrological scenario for this year. The ONS has taken measures to try and to try and improve reservoir levels. I'd like to hear you on what percentage do you expect to see in terms of relief coming from those measures, in terms of improving the reservoir levels from here on to the end of the year? And secondly, you mentioned that you contracted 97% of the energy positioning for 2022, but what GSF scenario have you taken into account for next year, 2022? That would be useful for us to understand the level of real exposure we could expect for your energy balance next year. Thank you. Hi, Carol. Thank you for your questions. As for the reservoir levels, it is difficult to make any forecasts right now, Carol, because it depends on a variable on which we have no control, which is the next rainy season. The next rainy season is expected to start in September, October. For the past 5 years, the rainy season has delayed a bit. Not for the past 5 years, but it has been known to delay a bit. So that may happen again this year. It might start closer to November and December, but it's difficult to make a forecast. But we are making all efforts. Information has made the headline saying that reservoirs could go as low as 10%. We do not believe that will happen. We'll have slightly better numbers than those. But again, it's difficult to predict how the rainy season will behave, quote unquote. As for your second question, the GSF for next year, we are equally conservative on that front. Even though we have not yet published the energy balance for 2022, we'll do that early next year, as we do every year. I can anticipate a couple of indications. The CCE for 2021 has a prediction of 73% for GSF. 73% for 2021, once again, CCE numbers. For next year's, CCE predicts 85% now as we speak. GSF for 2022, then, that number. For 2022, Carol, we are behaving in a much more conservative manner than CCE. So when we talk about resetting the energy now, is based on a much more conservative GSF, much closer to 73% than closer to the 85% for next year, closer to 73%, slightly above 73%. Well, thank you. Our next question comes from the webcast, from Mr. Gabriel Fonseca from Onyx. Hello, Mario and team. Could you please comment on the measures adopted for the flow rate at Porto Primavera power plant? In addition, could you comment on the company's view for rationing risks? What would be the minimum necessary level to ensure operational safety for the plant? Thank you, Gabriel, for your questions. Number one, then, about our flow rate tests for Porto Primavera power plant. Porto Primavera, last year, the average flow rate for last year, 2020, operated at a flow rate of 4,600 cubic meters per second. Earlier this year, as we had indications of lower hydrological conditions, and following definitions by federal agency, ONS, IBAMA, the Ministry of Mines and Energy, we brought the flow rate to 3,900 cubic meters per second. That was not enough. We were asked to bring the flow rate down to as low as 2,700 cubic meters per second. Right now, we are operating Porto Primavera at 2,900 cubic meters per second. once again, following a directive by the CRED, the Interministry Chamber, which has been created at the federal level to define the operational levels we should follow. We have been doing this. There is an important team of professionals from SASP and third-party contractors to try and mitigate potential environmental impact arising from that decrease in flow rate. Up until now, the level of the Paraná River downstream from Porto Primavera operates at a 46 centimeters mismatch from the riverbed. That's from the beginning of the testing phase. And we've been rescuing fish, taking care of the quality of water as well. That has not affected oxygenation levels and other concentrations, which is a good sign. And we have been collecting material. This is a determination from the ministry. Some exotic fish have died, and we are required to collect those fish and analyze what the issue was. We are keeping a close eye on it, and we might need to conduct additional tests. But for now, flow rate has been stabilized at 2,900 cubic meters. As for rationing risks, Gabriel, I think it's still early to talk about it. We are not counting on a landscape where we would have rationing of energy for the second half of 2021. And we are keeping a close eye on those indicators, especially around the next rainy season. We may have to rationalize energy, which is different in terms of saving energy, volunteer saving of energy on the part of consumers and customers. But right now, when we consider our base cases, we do not anticipate major rationing risks, even for next year, actually, 2022. As for the operational level for Porto Primavera, to answer your question, Porto Primavera operates in a specific regime called water thread. The reservoir for Porto Primavera is quite important, quite large in the southern region of Brazil. It's not a reservoir where we stock water. All the water coming in also goes out as it flows, in a very simplified way, of course. So we operate the levels within the range that we were granted. So right now, it is quite full for that specific regime, for that specific range, 257.3 meters above sea level, 257.3 meters. So it's a very safe operational level. It could worsen were we to receive less water from the upstream cascade. And the reduction in flow rate takes that into account. The ONS takes that into account. So again, we do not anticipate any risk in terms of operational level risks for the operation of Porto Primavera power plant. We are quite safe in terms of levels, and we are also protected by this specific regime that we have at that power plant. Our next question comes from João Pimentel from BTG Pactual. Hello, everyone. Good morning. Thank you for taking my question and for the explanations, the notes. I have two questions, actually. First, you did mention that you are opening up a window to negotiate with the... Can you break down the level of this denial for those shares vis-a-vis the amount which has been provisioned? And the second question is, maybe you have touched upon that already, that environment where you have a more stressed scenario in hydrological terms, we see a major impact on energy prices. I'd like to know if that's creating opportunities for you to contract long-term energy after 2024, 2025. Do we see any inflationary impact and energy prices for that longer period price range? In other words, are you benefiting from that as well? Thank you. João, thank you. Oleiros Panorama, the lawsuit you mentioned, that's the main lawsuit for our contingent liabilities for the company right now. 2,200 claimants. So what we're doing for those who prove themselves to be eligible for the lawsuit that dates back to 2005, the lawsuit dates back to 2005, 16 years ago. We are offering a settlement of 10,000 reais per person. But that needs to be in alignment with the judiciary branch. Those settlements need to be validated by the judiciary branch before we make any payments. And we have already opened a window for people to buy into that settlement. I cannot anticipate and give you a breakdown right now. We're going to do this when that window is closed in favor of transparency. But I can tell you right now, we are quite optimistic based on what we've seen. We are doing this based on online platforms, which have also been validated by the National Justice Council. And within a legal framework, which is quite robust. And we are quite optimistic, as I said, with the progress of that settlement. In addition, João, it's worth mentioning that for the next quarters, especially for the second half of this year, it's not only Oleiros Panorama, which is well underway. We have also been working close and we have seen progress across other lawsuits, which we intend to communicate as soon as we have a final word on it. So the following quarters or the second half of this year, as I said, but that's a promising road ahead of us in terms of lawsuits, liabilities, contingencies. As for your second question about long-term prices, as you know, our focus at SASP, our main focus, of course, we can enter any kind of contract, of course, but our main focus is the three-year period that goes from 2024 through 2026. Just to give you a comparative basis, in a pre-COVID time, early in 2020, the price for the three-year period at that moment was to the tune of 155 BRLs per megawatt, average price, 155 per megawatt hour. During the worst moment of the COVID, the worst point from the energy market standpoint, that was when we had the peak of the first wave of COVID around April, May, and June of last year. And the price for the three-year period dropped to something close to 140 BRLs, right? At that moment, 140, 145 per megawatt hour. Right now, we see those prices resuming levels of 165, and they are on an uptrend. So what we see in the market today, we have a more uptrending market with a higher demand for energy than last year. So we do feel there might be some more notches to go up. Okay, if I may, just a compliment to the first question. Based on the number, 10,000 BRLs per person involved in the lawsuit for Oleiros Panorama. So at the end of the day, to see I got the math right, potentially if we have 100% buy-in, you're talking about an amount of 100%, 99% of the provisioned amount. Is that the calculation? Am I getting it right? Yes, that's it. You are correct. Okay, thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Marcelo Sá from Itaú. Hello, everyone. Thank you for your for the call. I have a couple of questions. The first one, to pick up where Carol left off in terms of GSF for 2022, you did mention the price you paid before, and also for your growth strategy. We know that EDP is selling some of their generation assets, and there was speculation that Votorantim may have made a bid, but CESP has not. So have you made any decisions in terms of strategic growth as it refers to EDP that could be done through CESP or Votorantim? I'd like to understand your governance indicators in terms of new investments. And a third question, looking at the tax front, if you are thinking about paying extraordinary dividends to avoid a future tax levy in the future. Thank you. Thank you, Marcelo, for your questions. Prices for 2022. We have not broken down the energy balance for 2022. We might even revisit and reconsider that. Let's wait. But in any event, we have been resetting the energy balance for 2022. You know that. You have been following us for some time. Of course, we have sped up the process as of recent, but we had already bought energy, a good amount of energy, in the past quarters, starting last year and even before last year. This year, we have this price of $239. The price for next year is expected to be slightly higher than this year levels, but not much higher, slightly higher than this year levels. The market price today, if we were to buy 1 megawatt today for 2022, that market price would be R$330, R$335 per megawatt hour. Our average price is for 2022 is considerably below those market prices. I'd say closer to 239 than to 330. But we will soon break those numbers down for the market for you, okay? As for EDP and assets that they're putting up for sale, those are very good hydro assets, no doubt. We at CESP, and what I can tell you is that we are not competing for the acquisition of that asset. It's worth mentioning that even though they are good assets, we have right now an asset, a matrix which is 100% hydro. We're not discarding adding other assets or good hydro assets, but they need to be priced correctly. We have to make a risk adjustment for the hydrological risk. And now, before we diversify our matrix, that does not necessarily position us in the best place to acquire assets with a lower upside. What do I mean by that? We might become more competitive in hydro assets, but that offer other upsides other than the ones offered by EDP. They're really good, actually, but still, they have a lower upside. And that's why we chose to remain outside of those negotiations. That does not prevent us, Marcelo, from start looking at other alternatives in the market, be it under the electric matrix or other renewable energy sources matrices. As soon as we take that issue to the board and offering alternatives to the board, and then we'll communicate that in a timely manner. As for your third question about the tax reform and extra dividend payout, we have been monitoring that very closely, the tax reform. And of course, our budgetary planning is also monitoring that. And I agree with you. Our structure today is a sub-leveraged structure in terms of net debt over EBITDA. And it is a company that generates significant cash. We are not yet considering paying out extra dividends. We understand we should wait a little more to see where the tax reform will lead. But more importantly, we have to observe GSF variations for this year, for next year, and other impacts that we might have. At the right moment, if there is room, we will take into account the payout of extra dividends. It will depend on capital allocation, of course. Okay, that's very clear. I asked about EDP specifically because when we look at the fact that EDP has a high level of tax credits, it would make a lot of sense to purchase EDP, to purchase assets for you to use your credits. And if you buy renewable source, which are under presumed profit regime, that would make sense. Then you would be using a benefit that SASP has, but that other companies does not. In that case, you would be more competitive in that bidding process because of that clout that you have in terms of tax credits. That would make more sense in EDP's case than in other cases. That's why I asked this question. I understand and I agree with your view. You are correct in your rationale, and that is taken into account. Be sure of that, including the high potential of our tax credits. But even for hydro assets, that's from the SASP standpoint, once again. We might have higher upsides in other assets. That's what we think. But the concept that you have just outlined is correct, and it's in line with what we think. Okay, thank you. Our next question comes from the webcast, Mr. Eric Delaney from Bahia Assets. Good morning. Thank you for the call. Out of the $390 million adjusted at the contingent liabilities in a pro forma basis, what's the cash effect for the third quarter? Hi, Eric. Good morning. This is Marcelo speaking. We do not expect any cash disbursement relative to those adjustments. A good portion of that amount came from a favorable decision to the company, close to 75% of that total amount. As for the remainder, that's a cash effect which has happened in the past. There is no additional cash effect migrating to the third quarter. Our next question from the webcast as well, from Mr. Vitor Burki from XP. Good morning. Thank you for the call. The spot price, the higher spot price, has affected the price curve, right or wrong? Thank you for the question. Right now, the spot price is under a lot of pressure. So energy prices for July, which is ending today, and then August and September, they point to the ceiling of the pricing range. So even though it wouldn't impact on the long run, it does have an effect on the long run. It does. I think part of the pricing, when we talk about long-term pricing just now, when I answered João's question, and we talked about 165 for the three-year period going forward, the pricings are at a high, especially when we consider a recovery of the economy and an increasing in energy demand going forward. Those are the fundamentals and the main impact factors. But we cannot discard, Eric, that there is an effect on the long run. The market is starting to price a higher risk going forward than before. It's not the main contribution, but it does have some contribution according to what our models are able to capture. Thank you. I'd like now to turn the conference back over to Mr. Bertoncini for his final remarks. I'd like to thank you all for your audience at our earnings call. Thank you for your attention, for your time. It has been a very challenging quarter. Now we have an important second half of the year for the company, and we'll continue to advance. Thank you and have a nice day, everyone. This concludes CESPI's earnings call. We'd like to thank you all for participating and have a nice day, everyone.